that God had purposed that he could deliver me from it. I asked for it, thinking, hey, I can ask anything, right? If I ask him this, won't he do it? It's not like I'm asking him to cleanse me of everything. I just want him to cleanse me of this one thing, or this two things, three things, four things, whatever, these horrible sins I'd like to get rid of. I understand I can't be perfect. I mean, that was my attitude. I was certainly seeking, but I was also blind. I was seeking God, blind, not really knowing what he had in store for me. Hearing it at times, and teaching the Bible. Those 13 years, I began teaching the scriptures, being yet blind to them. But I think of Paul, he was another blind guide, you know, another one who was steeped in the Old Testament, very zealous of the law of his ancestors, yet completely blind to the ultimate truth that was in Christ. He stumbled at the stumbling stone. He stumbled at the rock. I stumbled as well in my unbelief because I had things sown in me, false doctrines that made me think, oh, well, righteousness is only imputed. Righteousness is not imparted. It can't happen. And so on and so forth. But on the other hand, I knew he could deliver from sin. And so I was asking. From time to time, when I would be overwhelmed with my sins, I would ask, God, I feel like if I'm lacking something, I must be lacking something. Send me your Holy Spirit. Give me your Spirit. Deliver me from these sins. I prayed with many tears for 13 years. From time to time. I mean, not every day. I wish I'd done it every day. Maybe I would have been sooner. Maybe not. But this is how destiny works. Eventually, someone preached to me the gospel to deliver me from my sins. Not just to forgive me, but also to turn me. And I believed it. But even to the moment when I received God's Spirit, in a way that I knew I'd received it for the first time, I was like, wow, power has come on me. I could feel the power. And I knew I'd had God's Spirit. You know, he communicated to me in a way that I had no doubt. But right before that happened, I doubted. I was like, I'm going to stand here all day. And nothing's going to happen. Oh, Paul, you got to have a little faith. I said to myself, or maybe that was the Holy Spirit whispering to me. I said, Lord Jesus, grant me my heart's desire. And boy, he did that and more. And so 13 years of bondage, suddenly, we're lifted. And you know what that taught me? Patience. You know, when I found, I thought that moment I was delivered from every sin of my life. I thought I was going to be perfect from that day forward. It didn't happen. But that doesn't mean we should give up. That's what patience is about. Waiting for something. Now, we are not patient to receive nothing. Why would he tell us to be patient and then say, but you're going to be disappointed. Be patient, but it won't come. Patiently wait for righteousness, but righteousness is not being delivered to you. What's the point of that? We have patience that we may receive. 13 years may seem like a long time, and it sure did to me, but yet, the patience was rewarded. I waited. I didn't stop seeking God. I didn't give up on the gospel. I didn't give up on my works that he had given me to do. But without God helping us out and changing us, we're never going to be able to bring forth fruit to perfection. But the point is, we can do it. We can do it. It can be done. And more than that, it must be done. Because this is the gospel. This is the good news. These things shall be done in you. You shall be like him. Believe in Jesus Christ that you could be made conformable to him. You could be like him. You can turn, you can change your life to be a mirror image of his life. The disciple is not above his master, but every disciple that is perfect is as his master. Verse 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. I love that verse, verse 18. Really explains something about people. And this is a question people say, well, what about once saved, always saved? Isn't it true that salvation can't be taken away? I mean, and some people say, and others will say, oh yes, it can be taken away. Because they all think salvation comes from our confession. They all think salvation comes from our belief. It comes through our belief. That's like the channel through which it runs. But salvation comes from God. See, God ordains from before the world who's going to be saved. And that is taught in Romans 9, Ephesians 1. That is God. Now, our perspective, we don't know these outcomes. So it's mysterious to us. So people, we watch people. We observe people. They believe. Right? Like the stony ground. They receive it with joy. We see it springing up. We don't see the stony ground part because we can't. That's their heart. We can't see it. It seems like they have faith. But then when the tribulation or persecution, or difficulty, or whatever. Cares, whatever. It doesn't matter. Whatever comes in to cause it to shrivel up because it has no root. Then what they seemed to have is shown to be not there at all. And that's the thing, is we observe people have faith. And they seem to be saved because we judge them to be saved. But to God, they're not saved. He looks at them as pretenders. He knows they're not going to be saved. So it's not, it is once saved, always saved. And it's also not saved, never saved. Those who are not saved were never saved. Even when they seemed to be saved, they were not. We thought they confessed, they said they believed, But their faith was dead. Their faith, they received it with joy. Well, they weren't just faking it. They really believed with joy. They received it. They believed it. They thought they believed it. But they didn't. It didn't enter into their heart. It was only a superficial belief of wanting to believe. Of what? Do you want to live forever? You want to be part of the kingdom of God? You want to be part of this Jesus Christ thing? This, you know, this Bible? There's a lot of attraction here for a lot of people. You can't deny it because Christianity is like the biggest religion in the world. Or one of the biggest. It doesn't really matter. They all want to latch on to the beauty of the forgiveness and the resurrection, but the truth of Christianity is a very small religion in the world. We are very small in the world. You know, they said Christianity is just one religion in a very big theological pie out there. Our slice is much smaller than that. And I don't even really think of us as being in that pie. That pie is just man's cooking, man's ideas.